Glad this morning has been drawn nigh by the blood. Amen. Appreciate that this morning. Take your Bibles. If you would, turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. We'll begin reading in just a moment in verse number 14. While you're turning there, let me just mention also we have some friends that used to be in our church in Monticello, and they live over around Lake Park, and she has stage 4 liver cancer, and I want to pray for her. Name's Linda McDaniel. But he called me yesterday, and they've been listening some to the broadcast over the internet because, of course, they're not able to get out and go. And then we had some other friends from Monticello that, because of the COVID, he has real bad asthma problems, and run into them the other night. And they said, "We just want you to know that we watch it sometimes." And, of course, there's other churches in their church, too. Many of them do the live stream. But I'm grateful that God uses the live stream, and I appreciate all those that help us with that, whether you do the cameras or the sound or whatever. I appreciate Justin and Cal. Sometimes Justin's a little late getting in here because he's trying to get us online. And so, again, we appreciate that. But anytime you have something like that, you're going to have technical problems. But if we didn't have some people that knew what to do, we wouldn't even be able to have it. So I'm grateful for that. And I want you to know that I appreciate all those that help in the ministry of live streaming the services. Take your Bibles, if you have them, 1 Samuel chapter number 16. I begin reading verse number 14, read through the end of the chapter. The Bible said, "Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well." And Saul said unto his servants, "Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me." Then answered one of the servants and said, "Behold, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and comely in a comely person, and the Lord is with him." Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, "Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep." Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid, sent it them by David, his son, unto Saul. David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul said to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Father, we thank you today for the wonderful opportunity we have to open the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you for the great illustrations that we find in the Bible. Lord, we thank you for David. And Lord, we thank you for the illustrations we learned from him and even Saul's life. Lord, we've learned some things, but sometimes it's things we need to avoid and we need to be careful of and need to be aware of. But Lord, the main thing that we see today is God can take a little shepherd boy, which many of you have sung about, and he can take a little shepherd boy and make a king out of him. And I believe what we're seeing before us today is the planning stage of the Lord making David king, preparing him to be the king and to take Saul's place. He had already been anointed, and I believe God's using him and getting him in the way that he'd have him to be in order that he might fulfill the duty that is before him. Have your will and way, we pray. We'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Now, we know, and I said we can learn from Saul. There are things we can learn from Saul. There are some good things. Saul did a great job in the beginning. There was a lot of great things that he did. But now we come to this passage of Scripture. All those times are past. They're behind him. And he's not doing that. Once he was a great king, living through dark and desperate days. But Saul chose to go his way rather than God's way. And I want to tell you something. We get ourselves in trouble, and I don't understand today people that seek to do what they want to do rather than seeking to do what God would have them to do. The most important thing in the life of a child of God is being in the will of God. I don't believe today. A lot of people say, "Well, I'm a little out of the will of God," or whatever. It's like one preacher said one time, "You either in God's will or you're out of God's will." It's either one of the two. And yet we ought to seek to be in God's will. And Saul was But he rebelled against the word of God. He rebelled against the will of God. And boy, there's danger when that occurs. He's no longer now walking with God. God is no longer using him. And because of his rebellion, God had removed that great spirit that was about him, off of him. And actually, as we just read a while ago, had placed an evil spirit in his life. I tell you today, I'm grateful for the Spirit of God. And when I stand to preach, I want the power of the Holy Spirit upon me. And every day that we live and walk, we ought to desire God's power upon us as we serve him and are obedient to him. But yet we find Saul in a bad state. He's gripped by depression. We find in verse 23, I just read it, I'll not read it again, but when David played on his harp, Saul was refreshed, and the Bible said the evil spirit departed from him. He was gripped by depression. He had violent mood swings. You can look at that in 1 Samuel 18, verse 8 through 12, and you can do that when you get home. But Saul was filled now with a jealousy and a hatred and paranoia. Saul was a spiritual and mental basket case, if you will. In an effort to help their master, they went out and they said, "Hey, there's a guy named David that plays beautifully the harp." I tell you, there's nothing any more soothing to me than good music. And somebody that can play, whether it be the piano, or whether it be the flute, or whatever it is that you might have, whatever kind of instrument. I'm working on the guitar, and I don't think I'll ever get it where it sounds like I want it to sound. But it's a beautiful thing when somebody can master a musical instrument and play that. Sometimes it'll settle you away. Oftentimes, in the past, I've gone to bed at night with some soft piano music or whatever it might be, just playing to kind of lift me and encourage me and help me. And so that's what was taking place here. They went out and they said, "Bring in Saul." Bring in David. We believe his music will calm the spirit of Saul. We see that in verse number 16. He said, "Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who's a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit of God is upon thee, he shall play with his hand, thou shalt be well." And so against the backdrop of depression and madness and spiritual tragedy, David is once again thrust to center stage. He's placed in a position where he's never been before. He had already been anointed to be the next king, and now he was being allowed to occupy the throne of his successor, even though his successor was still there. And so what happened was God was taking David and training him to be what he wanted to be. You know, sometimes we have to go to school. We have to go sometime we call the school of hard knocks. And can I tell you, sometimes the school of hard knocks is better than the school of easy learning. Because you learn along the way what you need to do. And so here's David thrust into a situation. It don't look encouraging to me if Saul's mad and if Saul's going through depression and all those things. But God had a plan, and he always does. In his work to train David in his role as king, God used several specialized tools. And that's what I want to look at this morning, is some of the tools God used in order that he might get David to the place that he needed to be. I say to you today, as we look at this, I believe that I've seen in my life, and you've probably seen in your life, how God uses these same tools to get you where you need to be. You see, we don't always like what God sends our way, but I assure you what God sends our way is best for us. And God's going to do only the things that's going to help us along the way. Now, God did not save us in order that he might leave us like he found us. In fact, when he saved us, he said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And that's what we try to do, is we send missionaries all around the globe. But in order for God to transform us, we must be conformed to the image of his Son. To accomplish that goal, we must be made in the image of Jesus. God uses these tools in our life that I believe are perfectly suited in order that God might build us to be what he wants us to be. The scripture said we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. God did not leave me here to build myself. God gave me the ability in order that I might do what I know I need to do, but he also gave me the ability to trust God, to trust God's will, and do what God would have me to do. The first thing I want you to notice, and we probably ain't going to like these. They're not exactly what we choose for God to use us in a place. But the first thing we notice is God uses solitude. I don't know about you, but here we find David in the lonely hills of Judea. We find the flock of sheep was his companions, the starry sky was his cathedral, and the expanse of nature became his classroom as he set out there with a bunch of sheep. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know that I would be a very good sheep shepherd. I don't know that I would want to be spending all my time with no human beings but a bunch of sheep, but David did. And while he was there, he learned some of the most valuable lessons along the way. Look in verse number 19. They said, "Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep." But you know what God was doing? God was putting him in the possession to get him away from all the distractions of life. Have you noticed today we live in a world of distractions? We live in a world of torment. And I tell you, honestly, I sometimes think we'd be better off if we never even turned on the television, never even got on the internet or tried to find out anything because the turmoil of what goes on around about us. But David didn't have that. In fact, if you would know, David in those days didn't even have a radio, a transistor radio, if you will. He didn't have nothing like that. He just had his harp, and he sat out there with the sheep, and David learned to commune with God. I tell you today, if there's ever a need in our life, is to learn to commune with God. I said the other day, I used to text, believe it, did it Wednesday night. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. I'm so glad tonight or this morning that God walks with us. But you'll never commune with God until you get along with God and find yourself in the place of solitude to where all distractions are taken away. While he was there, and I preached on this Wednesday night, David learned to worship the Lord. I tell you today, we don't have time to worship the Lord. I don't say that in a negative way. I don't say that in meaning that we ought not to. Listen, Lord knows, I know we need to worship God. But you know what? We're not going to worship God as long as we're worshiping the world. As long as we're worshiping people in the world, the things of the world, the material things that we gain. But David, listen, here he is all alone with just some sheep in solitude. Nobody to talk to except the sheep. And I'm sure he talked to him. He may even thought he heard him talking back. I don't know. But I know one thing. He was there alone, but God was with him. He learned to commune with God, and he learned to worship the Lord. David learned to be at peace with himself. I guess when you're alone, you can learn to be at peace, right? There's nobody to irritate you, nobody to talk about you. There's nobody to say things. You're just there. And I'm going to tell you, there's no monetary price that could be given to substitute what David learned along the way as God placed him in solitude in order that he might learn about him. You know what's sad today, and I don't mean it ugly, but I mean it truthfully, and you can examine your own heart. But most people today don't even know what it means to be alone with God. We so busy, we got to get here, we got to get there, we got to do this, we got to do that, we just don't have time, preacher. We just on the go all the time. I'm telling you, those things may be okay and important, but it's sad when we allow those things to come between us and spending time alone with God. You want to see God do something at Victory Baptist Church? Let's all get along with God. Let's all plead the case. Let's all pray, find the peace, commune with him, and worship him so that he might give us what we need. Some people need noise in life without activity, without the company of others, and I'm not condemning you if you do, but oftentimes I hear a lot of people said, well, I run a fan at night just because I can hear noise. I don't like noise. I got ringing in my ears, and I wish I could get rid of it. And they've been there for a long time, and I know they advertise all kind of stuff. Hadn't got rid of it, but I got used to it. But I tell you today, I just kind of like sometimes just a little quietness. And occasionally, I'm able to block that ringing out, or maybe God blocks it out in order that it goes away. But I tell you today, a lot of people don't want to be alone. I don't like being alone. But you know, the songwriter said, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. We ought not to fear solitude. When God shuts us off with himself, in times of solitude, we learn to hear God's voice. We learn to walk with him. We understand that God uses solitude to prepare us for greater things. Friend, today, it's not being thrust into the spotlight immediately, but there's a training process that God puts us through in order that he might teach us the things that we need to do. Find a place where you can get away from the distractions of life and listen to the voice of God. We've got so many gadgets and so many things today that override our time alone with God. But friend, that's what it takes to get David to the place that he needs to be the king. Second of all, God uses the tool of secrecy. Look at verse number 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I've seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Can I tell you something? The most important part of that verse is the Lord was with him. I tell you today, I want that to be said about me. But before David could ever sit on the throne, before he could ever rule as king, before he could ever have the power over the nation of Israel, he had to spend countless hours alone, unacknowledged, and unappreciated. I've heard people say, nobody appreciates me. Friend, listen, get over it and understand today, the only one we need to appreciate us is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you today, the only one we need to acknowledge us is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it's good to have encouragement from day to day, but David spent day after day after day, day after day. Nobody even knew he was out there. Well, somebody did, didn't they? He thought they didn't probably, but in verse 18, they had heard about him. And they said, he's out there, and up until right now, he probably hadn't even been thought about. What could he do? Oh, he's got a heart. Maybe he could help Saul. But yet, these lessons, David is sitting out there in solitude, and he's sitting out there in secrecy. There's nobody knows he's there. But you know what? He learned to be faithful to the responsibilities that God had laid upon him. I tell you, I started out years ago, been 43 years now, and I'm grateful. And I tell you, there's been some rough road, and there's been some bumpy roads, and there's been things that I've had to do along the way that are not necessarily what I would have chosen or what I desired. But yet, doing it, God was teaching me the things I needed to know and to help me to be faithful in the responsibilities that God placed before me. Even though nobody else may be watching, maybe nobody may understand. I've seen this happen time and time again. People get involved in the ministry, and they'll get involved, and they'll be gung-ho, and things will be going well, and then all of a sudden they just drop off, and you say, well, what's going on? They say, well, just nobody wants to help. Nobody cares what I do. Nobody knows I'm doing this. Friend, today, please, you don't do nothing for yourself. You do it for the Lord. He learned to be obedient. He learned humility. He learned to be watchful. David learned lessons in secret places that he could have never learned anyplace else. He was trained in the classroom of obscurity, and he finally received the attention and the applause of others. We know David rose from being a shepherd boy to a great king, and God used him in a mighty way. In fact, later on, David is called the man after God's own heart. My, what a promotion from his school of hard knocks. David learned that he had no one to please but the Lord. Boy, if we ever get that in our heads, we'll be doing good. I think y'all try to please your mate. I think y'all try to please your children to a certain degree. But let me tell you something. When you learn to please God, you'll please your children and your mate the way that you ought to in doing what Christ would have.